John Walden, Colorado Springs here. Glad you joined the Bible study class. We're going to look at the first epistle of John and notice how the gospel is presented. John's epistles occupy a unique place in the New Testament. He writes some 30 years after all the other apostles have written and have gone home to heaven. And the purpose of John's epistles are to call the people back to the truths that they have been taught by the Lord Jesus himself. John's character before God saved him was such that he and his brother were called the sons of thunder. And there was a time when John wanted to call down fire from heaven on one of the cities of the Samaritans because they refused to allow the Lord Jesus to stay there overnight. But when God worked in John's heart and brought him to himself, he became the loving disciple. And he refers to himself simply as the disciple whom Jesus loved. His writings, the Gospel and the three epistles, have a character of love. A great deal is said about love. But he reveals God, or the Spirit of God, through John, reveals God to us in two ways in this first epistle. First of all, he tells us that God is light. That means that God is holy, that there's nothing unrighteous about him, no sin in him. And this brings up a problem, because you and I are sinners. And the Old Testament scripture plainly says that two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Because I'm a sinner, and because God is holy, there is a great gulf between us. One writer of the last century said this, the great purpose of God in all of his dealings in grace is to bring us into fellowship with himself. Now you think about that a little while. God is not satisfied simply with sparing your life, sparing your soul, or even with getting you to heaven. But Christ, according to Peter's epistle, suffered for us that he might bring us to God. He wants us. He wants our fellowship. And so this epistle begins by saying, we're writing these things to you so that you can have fellowship with us and so that your joy will be full. Now, if it is possible for human beings to have fellowship with their Creator, you can understand that this would bring fullness of joy. Well, it is possible. And he goes on to show that the way that God can bring us back into fellowship with himself is because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And this brings in the character of God as love. God is light, God is love. Now these two truths go together. You mustn't forget the holiness of God. You mustn't forget the kindness of God. Because God is love, he did something to bring you back to himself. Because he is light, that is because he is holy and righteous, he must put the Lord Jesus Christ himself to death as your substitute. Your salvation was not cheap, but don't you ever say that it's too cheap to be saved free by grace. It wasn't cheap for the Lord Jesus. Now God proves his love toward us, according to the third chapter and verse 1, by bringing us into his family. He says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. How wonderful that God should want to make us his own children. And then in the fourth chapter, he gives us the proofs of his love. He says in verse 9, in this was manifested, or shown, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through him. God proved his love toward us, according to the fifth chapter of Romans, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you're not a believer, let me tell you that God has already proven his love for you, and you only need to trust him, believe him. And if you are a Christian, and you're doubting the love of your Heavenly Father, let me remind you that He proved His love when He died on the cross. Never judge the love of God by your circumstances. Rather, judge your circumstances by the love of God. Now there are some results of His love for us and the blessing that He brings to us, given here in the fourth chapter of John. In verse 9, He says, He loved us and gave His Son for us that we might live through Him. So His love brings us eternal life. Now, I was born into this world with human life, same as you, and this did not fit me for heaven. It fitted me for this world. I'm a child of Adam's race. I'm fitted for this world, but I'm not fitted for heaven. I need another kind of life. And this is what we mean by eternal life. Eternal life is really God's life. The kind of life that God has. So God gives us His own kind of life. Then, in verse 16, He says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, can be at home with God, and God in him. So He gives us communion with Himself. Now there are many people who will show you kindness, but they don't want to give themselves and their friendship. They prefer just to send you something that you may need, but they don't really want your company. But God wants your company. He wants you to live in His home forever. And then the 17th verse tells us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. He has given us acceptance with Himself, and this gives us confidence. The word boldness means confidence. The only way you and I can have confidence in God's presence is because we believe God. If we believe Him, if we trust Him, if we believe that He really loves us, then we're confident in this home, in His presence. And the result of this, in verse 18, is that His perfect love casts out fear. Not our perfect love, but His perfect love for us casts out fear. It gives us perfect rest. Now I said that eternal life is God's kind of life. According to the fifth chapter of John, this eternal life is actually in a person. He says in the 20th verse, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You see, when the Lord Jesus came down here to this earth, He was God manifest in the flesh. We're told in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, because God is spirit. And as His essential being, we couldn't see Him. But it goes on to say that God showed Himself to us in His Son. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him or told Him of. So when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, eternal life was living in a person. But now in the fourth chapter of the Epistle of John, he tells us this. No man has seen God at any time. That's verse 12. If we, believers, love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. So the world now can see eternal life by looking at believers. If those believers are living as they ought to be living, they have the very life of God in them. Now, how did I get eternal life? Well, since this life is in the Lord Jesus, I had to receive Him. And John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God. And here in this epistle we're studying, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 says, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you want to test yourself, just do it this way. I have eternal life if I have the Son. Now do I have the Son? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When did I receive him? If I haven't received him, then am I willing to receive him right now? As many as received him, to them gave he, God gave, the right to become the children of God. Now one of the wonderful things about this epistle is the certain knowledge that we have. And in verse 13 he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life. Of course this knowledge is progressive. He tells us in the second chapter about some who are just babies, and they only know the forgiveness of sins and that God is their Father. But then there are some young men who know the Word of God, and they're growing, and they're strong. And then there are some fathers or mature Christians, and they know God. They know Him in a personal way. They know Him from long association with Him. So according to this epistle, it is possible to know God. Well, then the results of the gospel are these. Among others, we have communion established with God. Sin had broken off that communion. We were separated from God. We were dead to God. But having received God's life, we can now have communion with Him. And then, of course, we will walk as He walked, the second chapter tells us. And then we will have love for all believers. And then we will have the bright hope of His soon return. What a wonderful thing to be saved by the grace of God. Our Father, we ask You to bless Thy word to us. We thank You for these wonderful truths. We thank You for the Lord Jesus, through whom they have been brought to us. Bless all who have listened to Thy word just now, we ask, in our Savior's precious name. Amen.